Let's begin our school board meeting this evening. The regular meeting, November 17th, 2009, we start at 6 o'clock, 6 p.m. sharp. We welcome all of you here tonight, and you're welcome to stay as long as you like. I've got my good friend Russ Rasmussen out here, a colleague in crime out at ATK Thaco. Good man, and there's others here that also I won't take the time to acknowledge because you're all friends. So we welcome you, and so we'll begin. I've asked Jim Peacock, assistant principal at Mount Logan Middle School, if you would lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Jim. I'd like to excuse Lynn Hobbs. I'm not sure. I suspect he'll probably be a little late, but not sure where he is at this point. But we'll excuse him. The agenda, the regular meeting, is as follows. Anyone on the list for public comment, Stacy? Did we see anybody there? No one's on the list. All right. We'd like to, and this is kind of neat also, I really enjoy this part where we recognize our teachers of the year, classified employees, and our administrators and our staff. We appreciate being able to recognize our quality professional people, licensed people, and staff that work with us. So at this point, I'd like to recognize Mount Logan Middle School Employees of the Year. And Mike, do you want to introduce them for us, please?
Yeah. Well, it's a real honor to do this evening. Everybody that's here from Mount Logan is here because they want to. We had a $10 charge that is going back in the school fund, and so I hope that's kosher. Is that all right? I'm good with that. We went through a process at the middle school, just so you know what took place. Our community council, parents, teachers, a group met together and went through a whole stack of nominations and applications. I want to just recognize Angela Martinez, who's here tonight, and she headed that up for us and had everything organized and did a beautiful job. One of the things that took place is everybody that was nominated received that information back in their boxes, so they had a chance to at least see the nice things that were said about them. So we'll start with our Volunteer of the Year, and our Volunteer of the Year this year is Tracy Cartzone. She serves as our PTA president. She works really hard, puts a lot of time into PTA. She tries hard to have fun activities, fundraisers for the school. She has a very busy life, runs a business, and tries to do a lot of things with her own children. But she finds time to fit all this in and help our school out. She actually happened to be the Volunteer of the Year a year ago as well, and as it came up in the discussion, the parents overwhelmingly, and I don't know if this was just like, you go, girl, we're happy you're doing this, or if it was really we're just very honored that, you know, that she's done so much work. And I know as I came over to Mount Logan, one of the things that I found was that our PTA really had one member, and that was Tracy. And so we've worked really hard this fall to get that involvement and get a board back in place again. But when she was the only person, we had parent-teacher conferences. She called me up and said, now normally the PTA's done a dinner. Can I do a dinner for the teachers? And knowing that it was herself, I said, I think we can make it this time and not wilt away. But Tracy is not here this evening, but I just want to recognize her as our Volunteer of the Year.
The board would also like to acknowledge and honor Tracy Cartzone as Mount Logan Middle School Volunteer of the Year for the school year 2009-2010. And we congratulate her for being recognized for excellent contribution and service dedication to the students of Logan City School District. And we thank Tracy. I'll give this to Mike.
One of our classified employees of the year is Trina Axford, and Trina has worked for a number of years in Logan District between Logan High School and Mount Logan Middle School, and I've had a chance to not only watch Trina this year, but over the years work tirelessly and very dedicated to our students in our special ed program, and in particular those students that have severe disabilities. And you think of the patience and the kindness that is genuinely involved. You see all of that with Trina. And so her nomination just says that Trina is dedicated and goes beyond the call of duty nearly every day. She's an outstanding employee, a good example for the rest of the people working in room 113. And on these mornings right now, you see her out there in the cold waiting for those kids to get off the bus, and she wheels them in and helps walk them in, and it's just very touching. And so Trina is very, very deserving of this honor. And so I'd like Trina, I guess, come on up, and I'd like to recognize her.
Trina, the Board of Education also would like to honor you, and we'd like to congratulate you for being recognized for your excellent service as Mount Logan Middle School Classified Employee of the Year this school year. Thank you very much for all of your great service and contribution. Are your family here?
My husband's here.
Would you have him stand?
Also, Trina, on behalf of the Logan City School District, Logan City School District Board of Education, and the Logan City School Foundation, we'd like to present you with this check as well as a gift certificate to go to Hamilton's. Congratulations.
I just would like to say I left my job, and it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Our second classified employee of the year is Ms. Carolyn Bell, and she has been so excited to have the chance to maybe be recognized and be in public. In fact, I'm being very facetious. This is killing her to be recognized. So, she has. She's wondered who nominated her, and. I just have to tell her it's everybody that she works with, and so just a short little paragraph here from Gloria Olson. She says, I've had the pleasure of knowing Carolyn Bell for 12 years. During those years, I've known her as a very sweet person. Carolyn cares for the children at the school. She knows their situation and has been known to secretly put money on some of their lunch accounts. She cares for her coworkers as well, and Carolyn is a dedicated, intelligent, personable individual. She's there for you if you need help. She's a great friend and a great coworker. And I do have to just add that her job's not always easy, dealing with finances and making some of the phone calls. So she does a wonderful job and is very truly kind to the kids at Mount Logan. So, Carolyn, come on up.
Carolyn, the school board would also like to honor you and congratulate you as Mount Logan Middle School Classified Employee of the Year. And we'd like to thank you and recognize you for all of your dedicated service to our children in this district. Thank you very much.
And again, on behalf of the board, the district, as well as the foundation, we'd like to present you with this check and certificate for a nice meal out.
Thanks.
Congratulations.
Very much.
Do you have any family here with you?
I have my almost all my lovely family.
Let's have them stand, please.
In the back.
Please.
I love them all.
I just want to say I love the kids at the middle school. They're really great, and I only have their best interests at heart.
Thank you.
Okay. And then we have two teachers of the year that are from Mount Logan. It's interesting to know there were 28 different teachers nominated for this award. And so we had a chance to read some of the things that kids said to the teachers at our last faculty meeting. And it's very touching, very, very cool. Rick Mon is our first teacher of the year, and this is his 15th year at Mount Logan. And I think there's something kind of interesting about his family. His great-grandmother, his grandmother, and his father have all been teachers. And Rick does a tremendous job. One of his colleagues has just done a little write-up, and Pam Spindler is the teacher. And this is a great summary of Rick, and so if I can just read through this. Rick Mon does not necessarily share typical characteristics of a nominee for Teacher of the Year. He does not volunteer for committees. He does not value every new progressive teaching technique. He does not spend hours after school attending workshops or summer returning to school to gain more credit hours. Rather, Rick values time spent teaching his students. Time spent on committees or after school workshop detracts from quality time spent preparing lessons, grading papers, giving feedback to students on written work, and being fresh and mentally prepared to start each new school day. Rick is an avid reader who does not require a professor at a university to direct his academic and intellectual growth. He teaches technique. His teaching techniques are traditional and time-proven. He has kids reading, writing, and discussing good literature. He gets students who don't read begging to borrow his latest class novel to see how it ends. He gets students who can't write well to improve because he has them writing every day. His classroom is a refuge of peace and quiet, where the expectation is that students will behave in a well-mannered and orderly fashion that creates an environment where students can think. There is an atmosphere of nonsense where every second counts to become better educated, to communicate, to be courteous and mannerly, to be ready for high school, college, and the world. As a parent, I feel privileged to have Rick as my son's teacher. As a teacher in Rick's department and on his team, I find someone I can aspire to be like and a person whose opinion I trust. Rick is not the type of teacher who will want the title of Teacher of the Year. He likes to work behind the scenes and avoids attention. Nevertheless, I believe he should be named Teacher of the Year to stand as an example to others of what it means to be a quality educator. Having been in Rick's classroom many times, everything in here is true. The kids come out of there loving Rick. And I could read a lot of testimonials from kids that just say, he was my favorite teacher, and he's the best. And so Rick Mon is our Teacher of the Year.
Rick, the Board of Education would also like to honor you and acknowledge your outstanding abilities as a teacher. We congratulate you for being recognized for your excellent teaching, and thank you for your dedication to the children of Logan City. Thank you very much.
And again, from the board, the foundation, and the district, a check as well as a gift certificate. Do you have family here with you?
I do. My father and mother are here, Scott and Glenn Amon. They came from North Garland. Several friends from Mount Logan that are here to support me as well.
Okay. Congratulations. We'd like you to
say anything. I just want to thank you very much for this great honor, and I'll have to thank Pam when I see her for that. But it was very touching, and I feel very fortunate to have a job that I actually look forward to every day and feel good when I leave, and I appreciate it.
And our second teacher of the year is Mr. Chris Rasmussen. A colleague, a very close colleague, Mr. Hal Briggs, has written a little bit about Chris, and I'd just like to share that again. I'm proud to be asked to honor Chris. I've worked closely with him now for many years, and if I might be permitted to brag a little bit, I feel somewhat responsible for Chris being in the teaching profession at all. As is well known in our district, Chris is very adept in technology, and many years ago when he first student taught with us at Mount Logan, Chris was a little unsure about which road to go down with regards to his career. We were afraid that we would lose him to the computer technology field. As I watched Chris teach, I recognized in him traits that are very rare among other student teachers that we had worked with. In addition to his obvious musical abilities, Chris possessed three other traits that I feel are absolutely necessary to successful teachers. First, a great love of students and a concern for their well-being. Secondly, an extraordinary creative level, including the rare ability to improvise on the spot when called for to create teaching moments. Finally, an extremely high patience level, which comes in handy at middle school. I often feel Chris is completely unflappable, taking things as they come and building positive learning experiences out of less than ideal situations. I counseled Chris at that time that his abilities were very rare among other teachers and which I had been associated, and strongly urged him to seriously consider the teaching profession. I like to hope I had something to do with his decision. Nevertheless, the entire district has benefited from his employment here, and I'm sure that there are many great years ahead for Chris in the Logan School District. I'm grateful that I get to work with Chris every day. He makes coming to work enjoyable and fun. I can honestly say that we have never had a disagreement in all these years, and I feel we complement each other well to the benefit of our students. Chris is a wonderful friend and colleague to whom I owe my entire family. It was Chris who in 1997 called me from Cedar City, where he was teaching, and insisted that if I wanted to remain his friend, I had to go out with the girl that he knew on the faculty at Cedar Ridge Middle School, or Cedar Middle School. This is how I met my wife, Leslie, and I have since become a father of five. It is also an example of just how perceptive Chris can be as a friend and a colleague. I congratulate Chris on this offer and offer a hearty well done for he indeed serves everybody, students, faculty, and alike. And just to add my little bit with Chris, here's a guy that is constantly sending out information to other teachers. Hey, try this technology. Try this. You'll do this. He's a wonderful staff member, and I could say the same that is said about Rick. The kids come away from there saying he was my favorite teacher. I wish I had him all day long. It's a lot of fun. Now we share him with Logan High, and so I'm just watching that band program benefit from having him over at Logan High as well. So, Chris Rasmussen.
Chris, the school board would also like to honor you and recognize you for your abilities and excellent teaching in behalf of the children of Logan City School District. Thank you very much, and we honor you.
Thank you.
How is the rest related to you?
He's my father.
He's your dad. Okay. Very good.
And on behalf of the board, the foundation, and the district, congratulations on that. Do you have family here who you'd like to recognize?
It's my parents, my in-laws, and my children, and my wife. And thank you. I'm not sure I deserve it, but anyway, thank you. It's quite an honor.
The 15th of December, we're combined with the orchestra, and we're going to play Alpha Greedy. It's Russian Christmas music.
Okay, great.
Great. Say that date again, Chris.
It starts Friday.
December 15th.
This is always a really fun thing that the board enjoys doing, recognizing excellent teachers, volunteers, and our employees. So you're welcome to stay, but I understand if you need to leave, that's certainly your choice. Thank you for coming and participating on this with us. Okay, next we have some informational items on the agenda. Shanna Longhurst, there's Shanna, right there. Would you come up and then give us a report on the Logan Schools Foundation, please? I understand you just had a nice activity.
You just invited me because you wanted everybody to leave again. We did. I just wanted to update you on things that the foundation's been involved with the last few months. The Saturday after school began, we hosted our annual golf tournament, which was very successful. We were very pleased. The city was kind to us this year and gave us even a larger discount, so we were able to raise more money for scholarships for graduates of Logan High School. We raised over $8,500 at that event. And with those proceeds, we met all of our commitments to our memorial scholarships. As you'll remember, as we passed policy, until a scholarship balance reaches $40,000, we will match a $2,000 per year donation that families or payroll partners or any kind of income that comes into that memorial account, we will match up to $2,000 every year. So we met all of those obligations and then put an additional $3,500 into the Harris Scholarship Account, which is just a general account that we give out scholarships from the interest of that account every year. So it was a good day. We had great weather, good food, and it's always, golf tournament's always a good time. Just this past weekend, we held our annual fundraising auction and dinner, which turned out very nice. We were at the Harris Hangar again. We had a fiesta theme. And we decided this year, and at the beginning of the school year, the board discussed at a meeting what some of the goals should be for this year. And we really tried to, we talked about really wanting to get the name out there and make school employees as well as the general public more aware of what the foundation does. And with that information, we decided to make our auction much more casual this year. And also invite school teachers to come for the price of the dinner. And it was very successful. We had a lot of teachers there, which was so nice to see. And as I visited the schools and taking back their boards for their school projects, people that attended through email or through my visits to the schools, they said that they had a fabulous time and they would like to buy tables next year for everybody. And so it was a nice confirmation that people really enjoyed the setting and the format and things like that. I'm still in the process of working out all the finances, but we raised probably about $18,000 Friday night. So we're excited to do that. We very much appreciate the support of everybody who attended, of the administration that came, of the teachers that were there, and it was really nice to see. And it was nice for donors to see them and there to be some mix and mingling there. An update on grants. So far this year, the foundation has awarded $3,600 to 10 teachers, and that was done in this past September. The mini-grant committee is meeting again once this week to do another round of mini-grants, and we've received about $8,700 in requests from 23 teachers. So the committee will go through that and decide which ones to grant money to. Currently, we are also accepting grants for NuCor. We are thrilled that NuCor once again will be giving grants this year. And recently, we received a check from Campbell Scientific, and they donated some money to Ellis Elementary and Logan High and Bridger Elementary. So, pardon me?
Hasn't it been a while since?
They usually do it yearly. It's going down, but they're still consistent in doing that, so we're glad to keep that partnership there. So that's what we've been involved with thus far this year. If you have any questions.
Any comments, questions?
I'm sorry, Mr. Fiesta.
You missed a good time.
I didn't think about board meeting until Wednesday, but I did think about the fiesta on Friday night.
Thank you.
So I am sorry that I missed that. And
you were missed.
I honestly can say that I wasn't sorry about that.
Shanna, I'd just like to reiterate, I see Dan and Sue out there. It was just a fun party, and I think, like you said, it was really great for the education family to be there with the donors. I'm sure not a high roller compared to some people. You know, I did my little donation for each project, but not for those. But it was really fun because there was something everybody could do there, and it was really good. And next year, I think the board should have a table. Especially if we keep the same format.
Absolutely.
We could easily do a table. Logan High administration had a table.
They did.
They did.
I thought you'd buy that $2,000 Christmas tree.
Marshall went really high on a pot.
I really wanted that pot. But it started at 75, and I had told Julie and she told me my limit was 300, and it went to 675.
$700.
Wow. So it was $700.
Was it gold plated?
No, but it was a gorgeous pot.
And the artist who did it was there.
So anyway,
it was very nice.
The board really needs to know the work that Shanna does on this is just amazing. She was smiling that day, though she was. It was a little forced at times, but for the most part, it was there. And we are so lucky and fortunate to have her and Dana working with us in our foundation. They are there to support each and every one of our teachers and this district. And I just, from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much
for
your work.
We appreciate the board and the administration's support of the foundation. Because without that, makes our job very difficult. So thank you very much.
All of us on the board, thank you, Shanna.
Thank you.
We appreciate it very much.
Okay. Have a great meeting.
Thank you. Did you say anything about cleaning out a room before you start talking?
She did.
She's very good at doing that.
She is good at doing
that. That's where we put her on the meeting schedule and agenda.
Okay, the next item, Lisa, PTA president, can you give us a report, please?
I appreciate the clearing of the room, Shannon. I just wanted to share some statistics that I've received. We're getting in our report, our first report of the school year, and with five of our elementary schools reporting, we have over 1,500 volunteer hours. And so that's a pretty good start. We just are getting our reflections in. Only the elementary schools have turned in their reflections. We have 274 entries that have been turned in for reflections. The middle school, since it's its own category in reflections, its own age group, is going to have a little more time to let the kids participate more. The high school's fast forward is still working on getting participation. They've had a little in the past, and hopefully they'll get some this year. But Logan High, last year, with Peggy Chanson spearheading it, just did a fabulous job with getting the art department excited. And they're doing that again. They will have their gallery walk on December 4th at the Italian Place. And with the art department, and she was talking with the English department about what they could do for reflections and perhaps publishing it to make it a little bit more exciting to participate in reflections. We still don't have a PTA president, but Peggy is still working with reflections and helping behind the scenes, so that's really great.
What date was this gallery walk again?
December 4th.
Friday. Okay. I believe it was Friday night.
Did I take that?
I think she's just going to set it up and have it so you could walk all day. They'll do judging either the 5th or the 7th, and then they'll have them also displayed for SEPs on the 7th and have a display and a demonstration place for them for parents to come and look at things. And then our council Reflections Award Night is scheduled for January 21st, 7 p.m., the LHS Auditorium. And you're all invited for a good time, cookies afterwards.
January 21st?
Yes, it's a Thursday.
At Logan High?
Logan High, 7 p.m. I've been, hearing about the flu clinics from the PTA presidents, and they've gone amazingly well. It was I was at Wilson today, and it was just nice and smooth, and hardly any crying. Okay, and that's my report. If you have any questions for me.
Any questions or comments? Thank you.
You're doing a good job.
Thank you very much, Lisa.
Thanks.
When is your council PTA meeting?
It is the second Friday, 10 a.m.,
Friday, 10 a.m. here.
And the boardroom and conference room downstairs.
Mm-hmm. But not in December.
Thank goodness.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Yes. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Lisa. Joan, LEA report, please.
Well, I'm glad to report that we have ratified the negotiations Yay. Took a while. We took a couple rounds to do it, but we finally got it done. Currently, we're working on the reduction in force policy. We had a memorandum of understanding that that would be worked on, and we have a short time to do that because the memorandum said to have that done on December 1st. So we might go over a little bit, but we started that yesterday with a meeting, and we accomplished a lot. Zane was there, and we have another meeting on Thursday and then on Monday. So we are working hard to get that done. So one of the focuses that LEA is working on and UEA is the concern over the retirement committee making changes to the retirement system that we're currently in. And they are talking about doing a lot of changes, so we're encouraging our members to contact those committee members so that we can retain our pension plan the way it is with the benefits that we have. And that's all I have.
Any questions or comments for Joan?
Our meeting is tomorrow.
Oh, is it Thursday?
Tomorrow.
Wednesday. Good thing you said that. Thanks.
Thanks, Joan. Appreciate your support and your contributions. Sue, do you want to talk with us a little bit about the...
That was a dangerous statement. I thought
like
today
to
I would talk to you a little bit about the different hats that your administrators wear in the district. And so today I'm going to tell you about my extra hat that's assigned to me by the superintendent through way of the mayor. I represent the Logan City School District on the Cache Valley Transit Board. So any questions or concerns that you have with that, I'm happy to take back to that committee as well. There's 19 members on the board. It's a policy-setting board. The CBTD is now self-operating. They don't hire out to anybody else. They do everything now in-house. They've increased their bus ridership over time tremendously, and they provide a great service for our Logan City School District for our kids, not only for giving them rides to school, but it takes those cars off of the street for polluting the air for our kids to breathe as well. So they do a great service for us. We have a great visionary leader. He's awesome. So he does a great job with that. Let's see if there's anything else I wanted to say about that. We meet twice a month. So not bad. Not too bad, right?
Not too good, though.
I know.
Twice a year would be better.
Twice a year would be a lot better, but that'll be all right. So it works good. On the shot clinic, our school went well. We only had to hold down one fifth grader.
Oh, wow.
And the fifth graders were much harder. It was a boy. Oh, my gosh.
We've been hearing it's more
crazy.
The boys than it is the girls.
And when he was done, he was like, oh. It was just like.
My little kindergarten granddaughter yesterday came to my house after having cried on Sunday that she was going to have a swine flu shot. She came and she put her hands on her hips and she said, the school nurse said that kindergartners do really well, but fifth graders are wimps.
And that is so true. Our little kindergartners are little troopers. And the ones that cried the most were the ones whose moms came.
And
so if their
moms
came, they tend to cry a little bit more. But that one fifth grader took, I think there were four of us holding him down. So he's a big kid, but it was kind of fun. And just on a side note, too, Ellis School Christmas program, December 9th. 6:30, if you have time and you want to come by, we'll be at the high school.
Right.
So that'll be a fun thing for us. Yep, over at the high school.
No, wait, when is it again?
December 9th.
What time?
6:30.
Is that board meeting night?
No,
it shouldn't be. It's a Wednesday.
Okay, at Ellis at the high school?
Mm-hmm. 6:30. Our music teacher's fabulous. She's done some fun stuff with the kids. And now I'm off to the second meeting because I'm on the Cache Valley Transit Board that they've put on for the district to the Envision Utah meeting now at Bridgeland. So thank you.
Thank you, Sue. Appreciate your service. Thank you very much. All right, the next item on our agenda tonight would be our consent calendar items. Any discussion or someone care to make a motion that we approve the consent calendar as it's listed, or?
I would move that we approve the consent calendar as listed, which includes the debate out of state travel.
I'll second.
Okay. Motion made by Ann Geary, second by Jim Blair. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. It's unanimous. Thank you very much.
So go for it.
Consent calendar is great. You can go on your debate trip and Go for it. Wish you well. Okay. Okay, now the next one is a discussion on the calendar, school year calendar 2010-2011. So, where are you at? Oh, you want some of that?
Yeah, that's a good idea. After we spread germs to everyone, we'll...
Okay,
real quick,
Marshall, do you want to talk about that?
Starting on page 24 and then 25, as we had the discussion in work session last week, wanted to make sure that we covered that there were some concerns after one of the visits to one of the elementaries by the board that perhaps there was a need for more discussion prior to the vote of the board. So we had intended to have a vote tonight on next year's calendar, but instead we'd like to do is just finalize on in terms of discussion points from the board. And I would like to first share about the rationale. If you look on page 26, the main points as the committee, which had representation from all schools, both licensed as well as parents, there was some things that started with that committee going through, as we talked a little again about last week. Number one is there was a real desire for school to finish prior to Memorial Day, if at all possible. Part of that became from the discussion that our electricity rates for a month are based on the first 5 days worth of use within a month. By going into June, actually what we've done is increase our rates, even though the electricity usage is down, the rates for that use is still high if we would go into June. By stopping on the 27th, it would allow for the lower usage in the buildings that first week, therefore our rates for the whole month would be lower, where the rates in August are actually set already from the beginning and for the rest of the month. So that was a discussion point that they kind of went back and forth and saw that as another positive about ending at that point. Yes.
Do you know how much we save by doing that? Is there any idea?
I don't have the exact amounts, no.
But is it a significant amount?
It would be nice to know this year.
There is, I can check with Eric. My understanding it is there is a significance in just that there's different levels, and when you get to the top level, you know, if you have a lot of usage, your rates are at a higher level. So, but what that is, I can get that for you.
It would be nice to know what kind of savings that entails.
Okay. The second part was the discussion for elementary schools about starting on a Monday. That was a challenge, especially some of the teachers that taught in the lower grades. They were concerned that starting on a Monday after the full summer was a real hardship on the kids in that transition, that a midweek start was better for them, and they were able to work them into that first couple of days so that by that next Monday they are ready to go and ready to be focused. High school brought in some concerns that by moving it the dates later in August to start, that it was putting a real challenge for the advanced placement teachers because their tests are the first week in normally the first week in May, and it was taking away some days of instruction for them, and the transition to the 7-period schedule from where they were was giving them a time screen. Their actual number of hours with a child before those tests is less anyway, and so that was just an additional concern that they expressed. There was a basically a consistent desire that we kind of talked this back and forth about the spring break, but it has been fairly popular on both parents' parts as well as teachers' parts having that full week. We're not seeing as much absenteeism, which we've seen before in the springtime, because people have started to utilize that time as the time that they're going on family holidays and vacations. There was a desire, consistent desire, to keep the Thanksgiving break at 3 days. That Wednesday really was a help for both families for traveling as well as for staff getting ready and traveling as well as getting ready for the holidays. The winter break, a lot of discussion back and forth, and there were good points on both about having a shorter one.
as well as having a full 2 weeks. Challenge comes in is anytime you have a short week, the potential of absenteeism rises. We do have a segment of our population that does leave for out-of-country trips, and what we saw this last year was because of the full 2 weeks off that rate of absenteeism prior to the holiday had decreased. So as we were looking, that was one of those concerns of saying, boy, it would be nice to be able to continue that if at all possible. It was kind of back and forth. What that does is you start looking at all those factors is it pushes one way or another. If you have an ending date of a real desire on the 27th and you have to get the 180 days in, what it was doing was pushing that date back to the 18th of August. If we had 2 full weeks, we could. If we didn't go to the 2 full weeks and had a minimum week right before Christmas or the winter break, it would mean we would start on a Monday. And that was a challenge for the elementary. So as we discussed, it kind of came to the end that it would be better for all. The midweek beginning would be better, though it is a little bit earlier than what we've normally done. Actually, for the last 2 years, but prior to that, that was a traditional week. We normally did start that third week in August. Only the last couple have we actually gone to the fourth week, the last 2 years. So it's going back to something that we had done prior, understanding that that's a warmer time, but we do have air conditioning in our schools, so that part of it is at least mitigated. So the recommendation is, again, to start on the 18th and end on May 27th, 2 full weeks at winter break, 1 full week at for spring break, and the 3 days at Easter time. At Thanksgiving time. So with that was the discussion. We sent out a letter to all the community council presidents and to the principals saying go back one more time. If there's any discussion points, please get that information to either, and we put in your email addresses or my address. We gave the names but not the email addresses of the members of the committees from the different schools. At this point, I have not received anything, but this is the time I'd like to turn it over to each board member, perhaps, to share your observations and what communications you might have.
Yes, I received an email from the community council president at Woodruff stating, you know, that especially having this letter really explains why that he fully supports accepting what the calendar committee has, the work that they have done. I had a teacher from Logan High say, well, if it's better for the high school to start early and high school to start on a Monday and elementary to not start, why don't we just have different days that we start school? And I said, because families need to have a somewhat consistent schedule. It's one thing to just have ninth grade and seventh and eighth start on sixth, seventh, and eighth start on a different day. And I just said, thank you for your input on that one. And, you know, the biggest concern was when Lynn and I met with Wilson, and the problem was no one who had attended the committee meeting was there at that time, and we could not give, you know, why were we starting so early and not doing the traditional, you know, a few days in June. And so this would really help. My only concern is that it get out to parents and others who might question why we're not going in June and why we're starting so early. And so if that can get out some way, you know, if you can get it out, the word through PTA, you know, and this same letter that you sent out, Marshall, if it could be given to Lisa and sent for PTA newsletters, it would be really helpful. And maybe it doesn't need to go out until January type thing, but, you know, after we've adopted it. But if there's the rationale behind it, once you see this rationale, I don't think there's real questions. But otherwise, it's, well, we're ending earlier than usual, and we're sure starting early.
Okay. I had one comment that was very positive. They were excited about the schedule. They liked the way it looked and were very supportive. I've had no negative.
Okay. Christy?
I have had comments about the schedule. Once again, these are not my comments and not my personal perception about the whole thing. The first of which is that, and all of these have come from parents, First of which is they feel as parents that it's better to start on a Monday and have a shorter Christmas break. They feel like that the justification behind that is that with school starting so early in August that they most likely will send their kids out to school on Monday anyway. So you're either going to miss part of a week in December or you're going to miss part of the week in August. And so they're concerned that it's starting early and having a full 2 weeks. They'd rather have it start on the 23rd and then have a shorter Christmas or a winter break. The other thing is that I have had, and I know Joan's going to be really scared, but I have had several parents talk to me about having the fall break be consistent and not in alignment with UEA. And that's not me. I know we've talked about this before, but that is something that they've brought up, that they like the consistency of spring break being in April, that they can bank on that always being the same time. And they're hoping that eventually we will go to the same time frame for the fall break as well. So that is what I've heard.
Okay. On the one in terms of the starting the Monday, is that multiple parents, single parent numbers?
Multiple parents.
Lots? I mean, 4 to 5, 10, 15?
10. Okay. 15.
Multiple schools?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
But then, you know, I did have some parents say that they really liked having a two-week break, too. So I guess it's kind of a... I probably had more parents say that they liked the later start date and the shorter break than I did parents say they liked the early start and the two-week holiday.
Thank you.
Okay, I've not had any feedback one way or another, so I'll support whatever. So, Marshall, I guess.
Well, is there any other information that you would like us to gather prior to December when we would put this on for a vote by you, an action by you?
You know, I think it's great to give some extra time so that if people do want to respond, and you've already had your PTA meeting for the month, but, you know, if you could get the word out so that if parents...
And we talked about it at that meeting.
...do have concerns. But, you know, I think most of us, you know, the parent in me said, oh, I love my summers with my children. And is that, you know, it's the end of summer, we kind of mourn the day school starts because the summer's over type of thing. But when you start looking at other things, the summer gets to start earlier. You know, I think most parents take what we give them, especially if we can try to keep it consistent for their entire family.
Yeah. Anything else?
Well, no matter what we do, it's not going to meet everybody's need. I mean,
that
some
is true.
People complain about it starting early and having 2 weeks of Christmas. The others saying, well, I like it just the way it is. I like the 2 weeks of Christmas. I mean, I think we just have to take what we can do. I think this calendar, I think the calendar committee has tried very hard to accommodate the input from everybody, and I think this is the best we can do. I mean, I don't see how to do something different that will accommodate all the needs that we've got outlined in the letter. I think this best addresses all of those.
Yeah. Jim, I agree with you on your statement.
No
matter what you do, you're not going to accommodate everyone regardless. And so I think we had a committee in place, and we asked for their input, and we asked for their time, and so to go against their recommendations also doesn't send a good message to the committee. So my personal opinion is
we
move ahead.
Well, and I do appreciate the committee because it is a very... And I missed the last meeting because I wrote it down on my calendar that it was the 5th and it was really the 4th. So by error, I missed that meeting, so I'm sorry. But it was very well represented. I felt like they had teachers and they had parents on there, and it really was...
And they really were good about going back and getting information and bringing it back and back and forth a couple of times. In terms of the fall break and the dates, I know that UEA has been trying desperately to get that so it is back to a set time. They've not been totally successful in that yet. But by going to the Southtown, they're at least having a little bit better chance of keeping it within October. And again, it is, though not all teachers take advantage of that, there are a number that do, and I believe is that, I mean, that was the reason for having a fall break in the first place, was because of the work of the association and allowing for professional growth. And I would strongly encourage us to continue that support around that for not only our leadership, but for all of our teachers. And we'll be working with the UEA, and I know that they want to desperately to keep that so that it can be the second week or the third week in October as best as possible. So, I know, and it is.
Yeah,
it is.
That's true.
By going with some of the consistency we've gone in the others, it is nice when you just know. One of the pluses we can do now, for a couple of years, it was difficult for UEA to get dates more than 2 years out. I believe now they've got at least two, if possibly 3 years out with some commitments, so that will help us to at least notify people so they would know in advance what those dates are. And so that they do have something planned that they can, you know, can do that relatively easily with years.
I know years ago, the UEA week, Thursday and Friday, always coordinated with the elk hunt. And I loved that because I go elk hunting. I'm not sure that's coordinated with that anymore.
If you do receive anything that you need to make sure that we get out to the committee, please get that to me or to Stacy so that we can get that through, and we'll be communicating with them of what has occurred tonight. And we'll again then anticipate on the December board meeting for this for action.
Okay. Is there an option to put that on the website of the survey?
No, we don't want a survey at this point.
Not anymore.
Maybe not.
No, you know, if we wanted a survey for next year's calendar, no. I think that would be. But the
2000, the 11-12, we actually were still looking at, and the probability we would do something with that.
And the survey could then go to the committee. I have a hard time after the committee's met to then stick a survey on and say, well, we want other people's input more than yours.
It's opening a can of worms, and we don't need that problem. Okay, let's move then, if that's all our discussion on that, let's move to our action items. The first item is the action on the second reading of the key control policy. And any more discussion on that? I think we've talked about that extensively. Or if there's no discussion, someone want to make a motion?
I'll move that we accept the policy on the key control.
Okay, motion made by Jim Blair.
I'll second it.
Second by Christy Cooley. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. It's unanimous.
Great.
Thank you. We've accepted then the key control policy as it's been written. The second action item is on the Verizon Communications request for installation of the cellular tower. There's some discussion on that.
Zane, do you have any?
Have a negative yet?
Pardon?
Has anybody come up with a negative?
I haven't.
I was asked by someone if we were concerned about the radiation that would happen to our students, and I said, I don't think that comes from cell phone towers. So that was one question that came to me. But
it comes from your cell phone.
Yeah, it comes from the cell phone that the kids are hearing, not from the tower.
Yeah. Those that have done it have, with other companies as well as with Verizon, have found it to be a very positive experience.
I think we'll just have to make sure we work with the city as far as, I don't know if there are any zoning requirements for something like that. We'll just have to make sure that we dot our I's and cross our T's with regards to all of those issues.
And sure,
there
also are many. The placement is still up.
But I think Verizon is actually the one that makes those.
What this is the approval that we would do this at Logan High School. The actual placement, either on the east or the west, we will determine in conjunction with the city as well as we're planning for the remodeling that we need to do for the football field and the activity fields. They would really like to have it on the west if possible. It's much easier for their equipment to come in and out of, but would work at either one. I mean, either site would work for them.
So this motion deals basically with the installation by Verizon Communications, and approval of the tower. And the final determination on where it's placed, I guess, will be up to him.
Can we discuss briefly just Is it like a huge tower?
What it is it takes the place of one of the light poles. It's a little bit wider, but that not much, and it goes another 15 feet above where the normal light is, and that's where the tower portion, but the lights would be on top of it. There is a 12 by 26 room that has to, or building that has to be built to house all the electrical processing. If it was to go on the east side, it would be there right next to the rec center on the southwest corner, basically right there, kind of tucked in. Or if it was on the west side, as we are discussing a new restroom facility and concession stand and storage and baseball, softball options, we could possibly integrate it into that building and put everything on the west side and be one of the west. If you went to the ball game at Ogden High School, mm-hmm. one of their light towers is also a cell tower. Mm-hmm. And it would bring in...
Will it have a fence around it?
Nope, no fence.
It's the pole.
Just a pole. It does have approximately... It's about $800 a month. It's about $800 a month in revenue. That would then go back into the activities program, specifically the fine arts.
Okay.
Because I asked if they wanted, and if they wanted to look at the rest of our schools for cell towers, because it would be great to have $800 a month just for having a pole on our property. Yeah. I would move approval of the Verizon wireless tower, approval for them to move forward on getting the permits and setting the timeline and everything on that.
Okay, motion made by Angeri, approve the tower. Second?
I'll second it.
Mr. Cooley second it. All in favor?
Aye.
It's unanimous. Aye. So we'll move ahead on that one, Marshall.
Okay.
The next item is kind of a nice one to get out of the road. Action on ratification of license negotiated agreement. We've got plenty of discussion, and I think hopefully we're ready to move ahead.
I move we accept ratification for the negotiated agreement.
I'll second it.
Okay, motion made by Jim Blair, second by Christy Cooley. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Hooray.
Yay!
And Joan and her team needs to be commended as well as the district team. They worked tirelessly. It was a difficult situation just because of timing, and it wasn't really because of anything. There was just so much that was done. They took on themselves a lot of extra things this year because of it just hasn't been done for a while. And it has been a joy to work with the LEA. They have been great advocates for education and for students, and I hope that we continue with the relationship that we have on problem solving, because that's where we are. We try to solve the problems as they come and done in a way that has high levels of integrity and respect. Thank you, Joan.
Also, I think it's also important to know that the board didn't ratify until the LEA had actually ratified first.
Yes.
So perhaps that's the delay people need to be aware of, that we are waiting for them to ratify before we gave our staff approval.
I think, Joan, we have to commend you for your facilitating this as the president of the LEA. And so I think the common sense approach, the willingness to sit down and negotiate and to put some good input into this, we appreciate that. So we have to thank you as a board.
I think it's important.
Eric is a voice of reason, calming, so no question about it.
Everybody worked hard. The district, everybody felt. There was a lot of policy change.
So we thank you.
We need to communicate to the teachers clearly that we negotiate with LEA, and that people need to belong to LEA so that they have good representation, that it's not just a capricious thing, but it's really important that they participate and be members, because you are the people with whom we negotiate.
That's right. Not individual teachers. Yeah. The LEA, have you increased some of your membership this year, or are you still languishing a little bit?
It's seeing throughout the state that the numbers are going down, and part of it is that younger teachers are not seeing the need to belong to a professional organization, and we need to do all we can to encourage that continuation. I'm a member of LEA, and we'll continue to do so, and we'll continue to support.
A member?
representation. They have a lot of great things at the local level as well as the state level and national level. There's some so a lot of benefits, but the primary thing is an association. It is a professional organization, yeah. And it's important for all of our staff to be involved in professional organizations. It does. There is a financial part of it, yes, but with that you get back so much more. And it's just it's something that we continually have to work on and encourage people to think about it because it is a great opportunity for them.
Well, and I did have several conversations with people about the negotiated agreement. Sorry, this took a big bite of chocolate. And I would say, are you a member of, you know, LEA? Oh, no. It's pretty much, at that point, the conversation was not even valid. It's like, if you want even for me to consider what you're saying, then you need to join the organization that's representing you. So hopefully that will, you know, inspire people to actually join and to support your organization. Just because it doesn't do any good for them to talk to me. It's kind of like when you're a PTA president and someone calls and complains about something that you're doing for PTA, but they're not a PTA member. It's the same thing. So they need to really need to join. So hopefully you'll, with your kind personality and wonderful enthusiasm, I'm sure they will.
I think I mentioned one time, but when I taught at Skyline High School in Salt Lake, I joined the National Education Association with a life membership that was offered at that time. It's not offered anymore. I think it was $300 to join NEA with a life membership. And I still got that certificate. I didn't frame it, but I still got it. Anyway, thank you very much, Joan. Now let's move back to the board and for the reports. Let's start with you, Zane, please.
We actually had a shorter meeting.
If you go to the board financial report.
Page 34.
This is as of the month of October. I didn't see any red flags this month. I think things are fairly consistent if you look as a percentage of what the budgets of the revenues and the budgets that have been spent as compared to like last year. I think we're starting to see a little consistency with that, which makes it a little easier to track and anticipate where we are. Just a FYI, the auditors have completed their audit, but they're still working on the audit report. I'd actually made plans for them to make their presentation at the last meeting in November, but I was thinking it was next week and not today.
And that's why. I wondered where it was.
And so when I mentioned that the meeting was today and not last, they said there's no way we can get it finished by then. So anyway, they're out working on other audits, and they work on getting our report together as they can. So the plan is December's board meeting, we'll have the auditors here to do their report. I think their report's due to the state auditor on the 30th of November, so they'll probably go ahead and send that in, but and then do their report in December. So,
are the auditors happy?
I don't know. You'll have to ask them.
Is your perception?
My perception is that yes.
Okay, I was wondering.
I think it's gone pretty good. I feel a lot better about the process this year. It was we're ahead of the game from where we were last year. It was a lot easier to put things together this year than it was last year. The auditors are, you know, they were dealing with a general ledger that had 1,000 more accounts in it this year than it did last year. But
due to the activities,
just
primarily the
changes of how I'm tracking things and program accounting for things makes it more useful as a management tool if we need to find out what's going on with programs. So, we're getting there. I think another year, I'll feel like we're there. So,
We need to have the board committee look at that, audit, and then we will schedule times for individuals to come in and also look at it prior to the board meeting in December.
Yeah, they're shooting to have it done before the board meeting, so we can make those arrangements for the audit committee, which is, I think, Fred and Lynn.
Right.
And then we can meet with you individually as you'd like to. It'd be nice to answer any particular questions you might have prior to the board meeting. So we'll make arrangements to do that.
Okay. Thank you, Zane. And you?
Yes. I wrote it all down on a piece of paper. Now I'm on the wrong page. Several things. We had our legislative luncheon. Fred and I were there. We were a little bit different than we have been in the past. Three of us at this table basically did what Lynn was threatening to do, but we were very, you know, we didn't call anybody names. Lyle Hilliard was not able to be there, but basically we said, you know, please give us back our flexibility. Please, you know, watch. We really can't cut anymore. And the superintendent and Zane really made their points strongly. I think I probably was obnoxious. And we just let them know, you know, how we felt, how it has impacted our district, and that we support, even though it's a major, it includes cuts, what the state superintendent of schools has recommended, and that look at that rather than just come up with their own. And so it was interesting, and Zana sent them a nice letter following up on giving some more detailed information where they could go on the things that he's talked to them about. I've also done some research on one of the things that they questioned us on. And so we're trying really hard to give them the information. Our hope is that they will realize that we do know a little bit what we're talking about, and that if they have questions, please contact someone, and we'll let them know what the impact of it would be in our school district. And Cash was just very friendly and nice. it was interesting. The Boundary Committee has met twice.
Work group.
The Boundary Work Group. And it is really quite amazing. We, at our last meeting, we are a work group, and what we do is, this last time, we were each given... Each group was given several articles. We read through the articles and we reported up on posters, what we'd read, what we found, what the conclusions were. We had posters all around the room. We also, Marshall came up with some different scenarios. If you started at the south end and just had students that didn't have to be bused, what would the map look like? If you did this, we had, how many maps, Marshall?
About six.
We had different options. The maps, by working with Cache County Busing, they're able to actually create the map, tell us how many kids would be walking. One thing we looked at had almost as many kids riding the buses were walking or more.
It would be an increase of about 12 buses.
Yeah. So looking at different options, and it's been really, the committee has been just amazed. And by having those maps, and it wasn't just one or two maps, it was just about every option you could think of, and some of them that you really said, ooh, we'd never want to do this. And we were looking at all the options. Even if people say, oh, we don't even want to go there, we're talking about it. And so I think you're going to find when the work group reports to the board, I think you're going to find that they've looked at a lot of different options, that people have been very involved. We met last Thursday. We're meeting tomorrow night. We're meeting again in December, so we met twice in November, met once in October. And we have a good group every time, and a lot of discussion is going on, and I think it's becoming less emotional. It's not so much about my territory. It's about what are our options and what can we do, and how does this impact each individual school. So I have to commend Marshall on the way he's running it. It's, you know, people are a little amazed that, hey, we really are looking at everything. and it's been good. We even looked at a K-12 option. This was just because it was out there. And then looking at all of the research that goes along with it. So it was fascinating, and I just dropped all of my policy papers. But anyway, it's been very good. And then the last one is on our what counts. I went to Adams Community Council, Woodruff's Community Council, as well as Wilton's. And then last Friday, I went to Logan High's faculty meeting. I did my little presentation, and then I said, do you have any questions or comments on this? And they said, well, can we ask you about other things? We talked for about 45 minutes or more. And then afterwards, I had some people call me and apologize if they were too mean. But so many people said to me, and Marshall heard this too on Friday night, thank you for opening that discussion. Thank you for being willing to talk about the different issues. One thing that was brought up was, one recommendation was that the final belief statement should be, we believe parental staff and community involvement is critical in the decision-making process in the district, and they need to be kept informed through multiple lines of communication. The question is that the intent of the groups that we met with, or is it covered with some of the others, such as its responsibility to provide a safe, caring, orderly, and positive environment in which emotional, physical, and social well-being abounds and where both students and staff feel appreciated and respected. So that's something to just think on as we do these. Most people were quite positive about it. A couple were extremely negative, but most of them have contacted me since. I have had a number of emails stating, thank you so much for coming, from Larry Comandina. It was way to go, Ed. So just interesting reactions. And I can tell at Logan High there's some frustration, partly because of their increased class size. I try to encourage them to get involved in the legislative process with us. I received an email today from one teacher who said, can I go down to the legislature with you on a Friday when you're meeting in your education committee? So we have some very good things came from it, but it was, you know, was not easy. And I've also recommended to them that Marshall would love to come to a faculty meeting and be the one to answer those questions as well. So,
can you read that last one again, Anne? What was the change on the last one?
Just add staff.
Yeah, he would like.
Add staff.
Actually, I think he wanted educators, actually, mm-hmm. as we talk. We believe parental and educator and community involvement is critical in the decision making.
Educator
process
and parental.
Mm-hmm. Parental, educator,
and community. That has to be discussed because. Again, the challenge on this is that these were a compilation of what work has gone on, and we need to be honest to
it was the community involvement piece, keeping parents involved and the community informed. And so, anyway, that was it's the first time I've ever had anybody say, though, well, I would recommend this change. Mm-hmm. And I did say, have you been to any of our meetings? And that's one of the things that I challenged some of these people that were a bit negative. I said, well, did you come to any of our meetings? We were at Logan High, and the one person who, then Marshall saw me on for about 45 minutes here on the corner at the district office talking. Mm-hmm. He had been invited to the original one, but had a baseball game that night, so did not come. But, you know, I think it's getting people to talk. And I really think it's been good for staff, principals, community councils to see us out in the buildings. And most of the ones I've been to, they wanted me to stay and, you know, the talk after the meeting type thing. So, anyway, that's all I have.
Thank you, Ed. Jim?
I went to the Woodruff faculty meeting. I was invited to their meeting. I was first on the agenda. They had a lot of things scheduled. He gave me 15 minutes. I took 12 and a half. At the end of my report, nobody had any comments to make. I said goodbye. So I walked out and they continued with their meeting. So it was very short, to the point, no comments. They all seemed receptive. I had to ask for a microphone. And then I encouraged him to use it after I left. And he said about the only thing he said, well, audiologists would say that. So I guess that's...
Yes, you should.
Yeah. I went to the middle school orchestra presentation, which was just wonderful.
What was that?
I can't remember what night it was. It's been a couple of weeks. But
it was the same day as the football game.
Yeah, the same day as the football. Well, no, that was the...
That was the high school.
High school one.
Oh.
They had the middle school one. And they had a guest who was Ashton's son, who was absolutely mind-boggling.
Was it Aaron Ashton?
Uh-huh. He was just... They had those kids playing all around the auditorium. They had music that was fresh and exciting, and they were all playing their hearts out. It was just wonderful. And then I went to the high school one, and that was equally, not quite as spectacular, but very good. And I think we have a great orchestra program. I think it's continuing on in a very great way, and the kids' attitudes are changing gradually. My granddaughter, who's in the high school orchestra, her attitude has changed gradually toward more and more positive with the orchestra leader. So I think we have a winner with that person. I think that's really great. So I enjoyed that. That's all I can remember.
All right. Thank you, Jim. Christy?
Went to Ellis Spook Alley. Have I reported on that? For some reason, it feels like I've talked about that before, but what a delight that was to go to Ellis Spook Alley in the basement of that old building.
So it was so fun.
It is so fun. They did such a good job with that. And I had to go through twice because it was just hilarious.
Did you go through with the little kids, too?
Yeah, I went through, just fifth graders.
Oh.
But the fifth graders,
it
was funny because I went through with a group of girls and a group of boys, and the girls were, left me in the dust. But the boys were, they kind of hung around more. I was really surprised about that. So it was just delightful. They did a good job with that, and I'll be doing that in the future. And afterwards, I went to the delightful Karen Blair program at Wilson, which was also very nice.
I was there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was very nice.
She does a good job with that. And she looks like she has a very good group of kids this year.
She does have.
It was really good. Went to Kilcrest Community Council, Watt Counts. Fred and I delivered on that. And they had a very small group of people there, as most of their community council members were not there, so it was kind of disheartening to not have as big of a representation as they could have had. But we had some good discussion, and I think the thing that I came away with from one of the members was that if that's what we believe, then that's what we need to do. And so I think that we need to really focus on the fact that we have our belief statements, and we need to start working on them. It's not just a document on the wall, and we really need to focus on doing what we're going to say we're going to do instead of just saying, this is what we think we're going to do, but we're really not going to do it. And I kind of felt that from him, didn't you, Fred, that it really needs to be a work in progress and not just, a punctuation on the end of a sentence. So it was good dialogue. I was,
Thomas Rohrer also mentioned something about the one that has to be assessment include peer assessment as well. Remember, he talked a little bit about, obviously we can't throw that in the mix right now.
No.
And he also wanted to see that. You remember that?
Yeah.
Same on Thomas Rohrer's part. He's a professor at the university. So.
And we did have some discussion
on
the I went out of my head, the evaluation.
ISQ.
And we did talk about that a little bit, about how that would implement into, the evaluation. And I guess I had, when I read that, that part of the statement, when it says that they'll be tested in a reliable manner, isn't that what it says? I guess I hadn't really viewed that as being evaluation. I'm thinking testing would be, assessing would be more along making sure that we're not over-testing and that we're providing tests that are appropriate, not evaluating our district or our teachers or our staff. But anyway, it was interesting. So that's what I got from them. And then Zane and I went to Ellis for What Counts, and I was a little bit overwhelmed because I thought it was their community council, but it was really their faculty meeting. So which we were followed by food from the new restaurant. What's it called?
Elements.
No.
Texas Roadhouse.
So whatever we said, it didn't matter anyway because they all washed it down with some food from Texas Roadhouse. So that was good. We didn't really have any questions from them. We didn't have a big dialogue, but I thought it went okay.
You did get an applause from your group when you told them that you guys had been invited to present at MSBA for the work that you've done. That your efforts in this have been recognized around and was recommended to be shared with school boards of the nation. I think they thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, they did think that was kind of cool. Zane brought that up. I didn't bring that up. Bless his heart. So it was good to be there with them. Community council meeting, I went with Marshall Hatt at the school. I thought that was pretty good, or the district office.
The district.
With the presidents, and I thought that's at least a way to keep people informed and to keep those people united, and perhaps if you keep doing that, that they'll understand that that's a means to get more information and to be more involved about what's happening in the schools. So, and I thought it was pretty good turnout. I don't know what
it's
the
fair.
Other was.
It was. You can always do more.
Yeah. I think if you serve some delicious treats, you might get more people here, but just my opinion. The only other thing I have is the fall or the day on the hill, I believe it's February 5th. I'm not positive about that, but I'll report that in December. But it is coming up, so I'll put that tentatively. And if that's something that we're all going to attend, that perhaps that's the time that we need to communicate with our legislators to let them know that we're going to be there, and we might want to meet with them after the meetings are over. I think it's the 5th. I'm not positive about that. No, now that I thought it was the 6th, but the 6th is Saturday.
Yes, yeah, it has to be a Friday.
Yeah, so I don't know for sure if it's the 5th or the following.
Are they do it on? They usually do it on Thursday, the first one, for some reason.
I, you know what, while Fred's reporting, I'll look it up on my other notes. So
yeah, the fifth is a Friday.
Yeah, I don't know for sure. For some reason, that doesn't sound right, but I'll look it up. And the other thing I have is the Education Summit that's coming up. I'm hoping someone's going with me. I know you're not.
I don't do anything.
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Did we recognize the presence of a new Brigham Young here? Have you noticed the growth on this person?
Yeah.
Devin, we need to acknowledge Devin.
4 stars 7 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, I was thinking. I was missing the hat, that's all.
You do need a hat.
Devin, we need to acknowledge the tenants' representation in the newspaper and the press, so thank you for coming.
And we have people in the back that we've never seen here before.
Yeah.
Did you come just to see what goes on in a board meeting, or do you have a reason you're here?
Doing daughter's homework.
Ah, what class are you in?
Well, no, it's for her daughter, my granddaughter, down in Utah Valley.
Mm-hmm.
She couldn't make it up here.
So you're taking
notes? Are they coming here instead of when closer?
She went to school up here, and she got a scholarship done at UVU, and she likes working with the teachers up here.
All right.
So,
So you came from Utah Valley?
No, she's there.
Oh, okay, she's
there.
There. Okay.
My daughter is down there. She got a scholarship down there for drone.
Great.
Oh, cool.
And are you from this area?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Are you taking copious notes?
No.
A recording the session.
At least you picked a short one.
Yeah, that's right. It didn't take the long one. We're not here till 10 o'clock.
Okay. We're glad you're here.
Thank you. I attended the legislative luncheon with Ann as well, and they were. She pretty well said everything I was wanted to say anyway, so I just let Ann go ahead. She did a great job. Asked the right questions, and Zane came up with some good question, and Marshall also responded. So I kind of just sat there like a pump on a log, just listening. It was great. What counts at Hillcrest and Adams? At Hillcrest, it was an interesting situation a little bit. When I got all done, we got talking about the, let's see, I'm going to make sure I get the right one. Oh, we believe education needs to be focused on individual students as much as possible, and that appropriate learning avenues should be provided to reach and challenge all learners. One lady up front started asking questions and says, well, that, does that mean we can all teach individualized instruction? And I says, she kept leading questions. I said, are you coming to literacy coaches and that kind of issue? And they're pretty well dissipated. So I don't know for sure where she was coming from, but that was an interesting one there. And I have one more, and that's at Bridger that I have to go to. Also, I went to Hillcrest Veterans Patriotic Program.
Cool.
And my granddaughter, Molly, she invited me up. And I had no idea, but I'm a veteran, and so I was able to sit on the stand with about 10 or 11 others, and they gave us yellow long-stemmed roses.
Cool.
And honored and recognized us. And so I got a little bit emotional with that because I really appreciate my service. I enjoyed that, and I feel like that was a great opportunity to serve my country in the United States Army. And so that really kind of touched me a little bit. That Molly, I had no ID, but Molly was the one that set that up.
Oh, that's cute. She's my future daughter-in-law.
Anyway.
You got your son-in-law picked up, your daughter-in-law picked
up? And my other daughter-in-law.
And your other daughter-in-law picked
up? I wish you'd get my youngest son picked up.
And I'm all picked up, except Ryan.
Then also today, I attended the Cache Valley Transportation Safe Leadership Summit with Marshall. And I think Pat and her husband were there also, other educators.
Sue was there as well.
Sue was there, and that was, had quite an agenda. James Swink, Cache County attorney, was the one that emceed that and introduced everyone. And then we had D. Lance Davenport, Utah Department of Public Safety Commissioner, take about a half hour and give us some good ideas. And there was also then some presentations from Terrell Warner, Cache County Victims Advocate. They had three people that presented that had just recently lost loved ones that had been killed in traffic accidents due to distracted drivers, drunk drivers, and that was emotional. It was quite touching, and they got quite emotional on that. And then making sense of the Cache County crash data, my son is the Region 1 traffic safety engineer, was supposed to make that presentation, but he went through emergency gallbladder surgery last week, and was still in the hospital.
They reported on the news that he spoke. So
he didn't speak because he just went home today. Had some complications from all that, but he was scheduled to do that. And anyway, they said from that discussion that there were things I wrote down. Four areas, that they call them the four E's, that they're going to use as part of the making sense of the crash data. And ways by which they can eliminate, or that they can programs that can instigate the three E's: engineering, education, enforcement, and emergency response. So I thought that was the program they're going to initiate to try to prevent these kind of things from happening. Marshall, is there? Do you have anything to add to that, Marshall?
Well, it was, again, the data showed 15 to 19 was the highest group of crashes and the highest group of fatalities. It is not, interestingly enough, in terms of the reasons for the fatalities, drunk driving and distracted driving actually are very low.
Really?
The majority of it is speeding and aggressive driving.
Aggressive driving, yeah.
And it's usually two-car accidents versus single-car accidents. It was very interesting data that was presented by the assistant to Darren. What they're focusing in, again, we had not only was Pat there, but also Mike Favero representing driver's training at the high school. The zero fatalities group, as well as the, there is another group that is a net, they have a statewide group connected with the safety commission at the national level, really trying to work on the younger students. What they're finding in the data, interestingly enough, that the way we do driver's training is not as effective as ongoing training before a child gets a full license.
that the more time they have behind the wheel is the better indicator versus the book work. And they were talking in one of the session I was in on a graduated driver's license, but more impactful than what we currently have, where there is a very tight rein on the first year, then a little lesser rein on the second, and truly they do not get their license until between 17 and 18 when they are fully allowed to be on the road without restrictions. Ours now is that there is obviously start at 15 and you've got hours, but the number of hours required in the state of Utah is 40, around 40. States surrounding us are well over 100 hours required for what we have. So again, there's some areas to go in terms of the law, and that's one of the things in terms of the enforcement process and things they can do to make it so that they're more in tune. One of the interesting things on ours is there is now technology that has been used in the industry in industry for trucks and things in terms of GPS, as well as the ability to monitor speed and actually to lower the speed of if you're getting too high. That is now available for a modest cost of less than $500 for parents to be able to have it in when the child is driving the car, that they can actually monitor and adjust the speed of the car. They cannot go over certain amounts, and it would have actually a ringtone app back to the parent's phone and say your child is now in a position of speeding. So then you call, which then he has to answer. But anyway, that was one of those laughs that came, but there would be ways that way. And there's also, I guess, there is now a key that you can program to put in, and it will say this key is a student, he is under the age of, and there are certain things that cannot happen. It blocks out your cell phone. You cannot use your cell phone
unless you pull over
until you pull over and stop. It has to be in park in order for it to occur. There's a couple other things, so it's interesting some of the things that are coming on for technology-wise that might be able to help us out. But a lot of it is just reminding. We've got to remind our kids that they are not invincible, that they have to be careful in what they're doing.
Yeah, that's all I have. Do you have anything further?
No, it was good. I just have two quick things. Our H1N1 immunizations have been going very well, as you heard. We've been able to now, we'll be finishing up with our elementary schools. We were supposed to do our high school starting on next Monday and Tuesday, that we did not get the vaccine for next week. They are committed, though, that they believe we'll have it for the week after Thanksgiving. So we'll be finishing up that week of the 30th, November 30th on.
What about staff?
Staff is also waiting, and we're kind of at the end. The other thing that is we are trying to work on diligently is the fact that all of our 9-year-olds are supposed to come back within 21 to 28 days, which is going to be coming up in the next week in December, and making sure that we have enough vaccinations. Nine and under have to have, because they only got a half a dose the first time. But Kelly needs to be lauded. If you see her choice of what she did, it was a little different than what the health department had wanted to do. But they worked it so that the kids came as a group, but then they went out, the person who was giving the shot came out and brought in the kids just that were doing the shots, held their hand, talked with them, sometimes had to sit on them, but very few, mostly boys, mostly fifth graders. But they were then, they got a special sticker, and they got a special
Band-aid
and just a lot. It was a very positive. In fact, that afternoon, one of the little boys was coming back through, and he says, "See this? I got a shot today." He was so proud. But that was how it was, because of Kelly's organization. Sometimes it was a little slower than what they wanted. They wanted just kind of do it army style, and we said, "No, that doesn't. We've got to have a pace that will allow for the teachers to have ability to control some of this, as well as make it so that it's positive for the kids." And so we've done everything we feel we can do, and Kelly needs to be congratulated on that. It was a lot of work.
I wondered if we could do some kind of a recognition and invite those volunteers and others that were so integral to it, and just do a thank you probably
okay, we can
in
maybe,
January.
Okay,
because
we can do
I
that.
Think what what has been done, whether it's the big stuffed envelopes or that they were the volunteers that helped?
So far, we're over 50% of our student body. Has some schools were higher than others. But again, it's at a point where the health department believes that we've gotten enough inoculated that if there is another wave, which our wave actually started hitting about 3-4 weeks ago, right before we had any inoculations, we've not seen absenteeism. We have started hearing about some children who have been diagnosed with H1N1. One of our teachers at the high school's little boy, 5-year-old, has been diagnosed with it. And so we're just kind of watching and seeing whether or not, because they're saying that it just kind of potentially can be waves, and they're not even sure if the full wave won't hit us until January, February timeframe.
And the middle school they postponed theirs as well.
They had to, middle school and high school had to postpone both of theirs. And
I got a phone call today from the middle school, but I haven't heard anything from the high school.
Right.
But I do know that.
That will be the week after Thanksgiving. We had the play coming on this weekend at the high school, the musical, and that will be on Friday and Saturday, Monday and Tuesday. You just need to get in touch with Cheryl at the high school, and she will be glad to work at getting you tickets.
And what is neat, we have tickets because we received them from my husband's work. And they're online printed off tickets, so you can actually reserve a ticket online. I can tell Cheryl's gone to a new system, which is really cool.
When is it again, please?
It's Friday, Saturday, Monday, and Tuesday. They're doing a matinee, I believe, a practice for the elementary schools on Thursday.
Okay.
But it's how to succeed in business without really trying. And it's, I happened to be over there when they were doing a little bit of practicing, I think, when we were over there that day. And I think it's going to be exciting. They've got some, like, they just do amazing things.
What
those kids just do. Time, I am not sure. Do you remember, Ann? I think
Cheryl.
It's 7.
7:30.
But Cheryl would know.
Are they?
You know what? Let me look
tickets.
Right now.
Yeah, they're complimentary tickets.
Complimentary.
I'll look at
So anyway, that is going on. We are working on our safety committee. We'll be meeting on Thursday, and at 4:00.
I'll be up too.
And we'll be working on the bullying.
Too, aren't you?
Right.
Yeah,
we'll be working on the bullying.
Bullying
policy, kind of getting that down and honing it in. We're waiting for there's not been a lot of information back from committee members, so we're just going to kind of take what we have and start working on some drafts.
Would you please excuse me for that?
I will do that.
Right here. Safety committee meeting, 4 p.m.
Right.
November
19th.
Okay.
And then we'll be here Monday and Tuesday, and then we'll be out for the holiday. Yes.
Did we get an invitation to something during USBA, a luncheon or something?
Yes. With the Zion's lunch. Now, the question on that is Fred brought that up this morning in our meeting. I believe it's normally a meeting where you go and you eat and then they have a little presentation. It's not something you can just grab and go.
It's Zion's this time.
Yeah.
And after Lynn and I talked last year, after the training we received about the Open Meetings Act, someone asked about, well, what about us meeting down here? And they said, well, as long as you don't have an agenda or talk about things that you would normally do in a board meeting. And so Lynn and I both felt like perhaps we need to change what we do during that lunch, and it would save us some money by having...
So we can...
That's what I'd recommend it too.
Do you want to do that instead?
I think we discussed it last time because we felt we were...
You can go through the line. You don't have to sit in a particular place.
Right, we can sit at our own table.
So if you want, we will be glad to RSVP to that.
I'm thinking if we can save the money, gosh, let's do it.
Well, the other thing is what we've done
saving money.
Is probably not kosher.
Okay.
Anyway.
We will make those RSVPs.
I'm not sure if I'll be there, but I will.
What?
Well, I have my USBA meeting that afternoon. So if we're not all going to meet as a group, I might as well go to that.
Yes.
But is yours a luncheon meeting, or is it after the lunch?
No, it's during the lunch.
It's during the lunch. Okay.
They meet with the State Board of Education.
The State Board of Education is
right.
The night before.
Or is it the night
before? No, we'll still have the same process of the Thursday night, having an early dinner, and then they have the presentation Thursday evening, starting about 7, and then we'll have the dinner at the banquet on Friday night, And again, reminder that Stacy needs to send in the checks for your spouses for the meals. And it's, I believe, is it 35 for the evening meal and 25 for the Saturday luncheon, I believe.
I've already told Stacy.
The musical is at 7:30. You can actually reserve your tickets online.
Okay.
And Day on the Hill is the 5th.
It's going to be Friday the 5th.
Friday the 5th starts at 10 o'clock. It's in the Senate building. We shall hear from, would you like to hear who's speaking? Howard Stevenson, that should be entertaining. Bradley Last, Patricia Jones, and Christine Curl are scheduled to appear. And then we meet with our delegate or our representative at 1:30 to 3:30, but we're supposed to call them and let them know that we want to meet with them, if we want to meet with them.
Okay. You want, we can get that arranged.
Would be nice. Yeah.
1:30 to 3:30?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Anything else that we need to discuss tonight? If not, we will adjourn our board meeting at 7:40.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
We were done. Was it 7:10?